Hello, I'm Dr. Felty. I created this podcast to share healing experiences, research, and education to raise awareness about our self-healing abilities and to reduce harm while healing. I've been on a self-healing journey from colitis, PTSD, addiction, anxiety, depression, a big ego, you name it. But enough about me already. There are going to be different types of healers on here, and they're going to encourage you on different ways of healing because each one of us is a healer, even if you're just trying to heal yourself. And there are three ways that you can support this podcast. One, click subscribe. Two, give it a 5-star rating if that feels right for you. And three, share it with your tribe. Nothing on this podcast substitutes medical advice, and all claims said on here are up for interpretation. Take what works for you and leave the rest. I have a special guest for you today, so let's jump right in and get started. I'm so happy that you're doing this. Thank you.
Of course. I appreciate it. Yeah, of course. Happy to help out and, you know, share my experiences and just connect with you. Honestly, it's even if we weren't recording or doing a podcast, I just wanted to talk. So,
yeah, I love connecting with you. Before we get started, can you let everyone know who you are?
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Adrian Mometi. I'm a naturopathic doctor, just recently graduated in August. So just moved to San Diego as well in September and working on starting up my telemedicine practice right now to start. Almost finished with my website. And also just today, just a few hours ago, found out that I am the newest sales executive for Grizzly Peak Cannabis here in San Diego. So I'll be helping that company out. They grow a premium indoor cannabis flower. And, you know, obviously sell it all over the state. So I'll be the San Diego sales representative for them. So I'm super excited for that since, you know, my passion for cannabis is unrivaled.
Oh, yeah.
And my whole, you know, goal from the beginning is to combine cannabis and naturopathic medicine together. And I think I'm on the right path here finally, you know, with working for one of the top cannabis companies. While I work on my practice.
Beautiful. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm super excited. And, you know, it's cannabis that brought me into naturopathic medicine to begin with. You know, I've shared this story before, how I was at a cannabis conference in Las Vegas, and I saw Dr. Michelle Sexton speak, who actually lives here in San Diego as well. And just blew my mind. And I said, whoa, what is this naturopathic medicine thing? And that started me on this path. And here I am today.
Love it. It's so interesting how you and I really connected in naturopathic medical school.
I think if I remember right, like we connected on the on the topic of cannabis. That was the first thing we talked about. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yes. There you go. It's something that, you know, we both share a lot of passion for on the medical side, of course, and even the recreational end. And it's just, you know, one of the many beautiful healing plants that are out there among, you know, the other ones that we'll be talking about here today.
Right.
So, you know, they're all in there together.
Absolutely. They all have their own unique and special qualities. Some plants are for some people and some plants are for other people. It just depends on what you need. How did you really get into, I mean, it kind of sounds like cannabis has led you. It's almost like the plants have led you to the plants.
Exactly.
But you tell me how you really got into psychedelics.
Yeah. So it's funny, you know, I was one of those people that I did a lot of research and I did a lot of talking to people before I even ingested a single psychedelic. And it was like years of research I'm talking, you know, I just wasn't ready. I had known about them. I'd had friends that are like, hey, you want to try mushrooms? You know, like long time ago. And I was like, no, that's not for me. And, and this was even before I, you know, had tried cannabis. So I was like, oh no way, man. I'm just going to stick to my alcohol and get blacked out drunk on the weekends. And I'm good with that, you know?
Oh yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny how when you look back at it, but I was I was just, like I said, going out all the time, drinking, didn't think anything of it because that's what society, you know, does, right? And condones and celebrates, like, oh, let's have a drink, let's celebrate.
Right.
And you talk about anything else, and especially a few years ago, you were looked at like, wow, what a crazy, you know, hippie, druggy, stoner, whatever words you want to call them. And so then, you know, got into cannabis. I didn't start cannabis till I was 26 years old. You know, I was bought in fully into the reefer madness, into the whole, this is, you know, what losers, stoners do, and totally believe the lies. And then I started working with some guys that were really intelligent, successful people, you know, PhD in chemistry from Northwestern. And then he's telling me that his professor, who won a Nobel Peace Prize in chemistry, has weed in the office and he smokes with his students. And I'm like, wait, what? This is something that really smart, successful people are getting into. Like, maybe I've been, you know, told a lie here. Let me look into this a little bit more. And I started digging. I started researching and tried it myself and just really enjoyed how it made me feel compared to alcohol, of course. And, you know, there's none of the hangover. There's none of the just, I would say, just lowering of your vibrations, honestly, is what alcohol can do. And whereas cannabis and, you know, the other plant medicines really can help to raise your vibration. So that's kind of what I felt in a nutshell, you know, and ever since then I was... I was all in, you know, I was the cannabis guy to most people, you know, and whatever, you know, in school, professors started talking about it more. And I would always raise my hand and be like, well, also, did you know that there's this and there's this? And so I was that guy.
Okay.
And I quickly became the, you know, face of cannabis at school. And just anywhere that I went, I get my hair cut, I'm talking to the guy about the endocannabinoid system, you know, like, he doesn't have a choice. He's listening. He's learning. So, you know, and people can feel and sense that passion every time I talk about it. And I think it throws people off because, you know, I look like a clean cut guy. Like I even joke around and say, I look like an undercover cop, even though I'm not. It's just that I think I like that because it gets people to second guess and like, it ultimately getting over the stigma of like, oh, successful people actually can consume cannabis and have a functional, normal adult life. Interesting.
Right.
You know, and then it continuing on that path, going down, started learning about psychedelics, of course. I remember one kind of turning point for me was watching the documentary Neurons to Nirvana, which I highly recommend. It's on Amazon Prime Video. You could watch it there. And it goes through the different, you know, it goes through cannabis, MDMA, LSD, psilocybin, and ayahuasca. I was like, huh, okay. And it goes into the current research and it's already like 6 or 7 years old now. So there's lots that's happened since then, you know?
Oh yeah. Lots of things have happened since then. Fantastic fungi has come out, DMT, the spirit molecule, Aya Awakenings. I think it's called the Sunshine Makers. Dirty Pictures, A New Understanding, The Science of Psilocybin. I mean, lots of research has happened since then. Celebrities have come out and talked about their psychedelic experiences and how they have changed them. Shows like Unwell explains what psychedelics are. We are all collectively becoming more aware of this medicine, of this technology to enhance our consciousness. But that does not mean they do not pose a risk. It is so important to educate yourself, to have a guide, to do your research, and to never play with psychedelics if you're not ready to integrate and go to therapy, because you are going to open your mind and you might not like what's in there. Always, always be safe.
Of course. And watch that documentary. And I was like, huh, okay. And I remember actually even showing it to Fjorda. And she's like, I don't know, Adrian, like this stuff is crazy. Like, what are you getting into? Like, she actually got mad at me. I remember. It's funny, you know, when you go through these things, you don't think about or talk about much, but appreciate you asking. And So yeah, and then eventually my very first experience with it was trying psilocybin mushrooms in a forest preserve down in Champaign, Illinois, where Fjorda was going to school. And we took some mushrooms that I got from a friend. And, you know, it was a really light experience. It wasn't anything mind-blowing or earth-shattering or anything, but I definitely got the message. You know, I started seeing the leaves kind of moving a little bit more and a little bit sharper. And then all of a sudden, I never felt this urge to want to thank the trees and literally connect with them and like sit with them and be like, wow. Ever since that day, I never saw trees the same way, you know? So that's powerful. And just how much they do for us, you know, and the oxygen they provide and the, you know, hundreds of years of history that they have and wisdom of being in that one place and how deep their roots go and all of the mycelial network that's down below there that we don't even see that, but that's there. And you can kind of feel and connect all with that, you know, when you're on that elevated consciousness. So that was my first experience. And I was like, wow, I love this.
Yeah.
And ever since then, and then that was like really light. Like I said, it wasn't like a full on psychedelic experience. Then my first experience with a psychedelic fully was taking a full hit of LSD and with Fjorda again. And that was really intense. We did it in my apartment, which was, you know, interesting for sure. You know, set and setting, of course, is so important. And for the first time for both of us to be there together, nobody else around. You know, there was some moments where we freaked out a little bit. I mean, I remember for 30 minutes or an hour, I was having some anxiety, you know, big time. And I was like, started getting paranoid. I'm like, oh my God, are the police here? Like all this weird stuff. I kept wanting to go outside, but it was like the winter. It was freezing. And, you know, so, but overall, it was just an amazing experience. Like I was totally just blown away. And I'm like, wow, there's so much here. I can't wait to keep exploring this. And that was 4 years ago now. So ever since then, I've had quite a few different experiences. I wouldn't say I'm, you know, some veteran or expert in it by any means, but I definitely have some experiences. And I know that I'm just getting started and cannot wait to dig in further into this. And so, yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing all that. My gosh. and it's so wild. So tell us, in the past 4 years, kind of what you have been learning or being inspired to do around psychedelics.
I mean, really, I've been so inspired to where I, you know, realized early on that I want to work with these medicines in some way or another, you know, even just for myself, but also with, you know, future patients, because I see the power in them to getting to the true root cause. You know, that's what we're trained as naturopathic doctors, get to the root cause. And oftentimes, as you well know, that tends to be mental, emotional, and then even spiritual, you know? So it's like, how do you get to those things? It sometimes it's not that easy. You know, you could go through talk therapy and different stuff like that, but it could take years. And whereas these medicines are so powerful in that they can help somebody completely transform, you know, very quickly. And so I just am excited about the potential, you know, medical applications of them, not only for mental, emotional issues, but even physical. I mean, it all starts in the mind and, you know, in the spirit. So once those things are healed, it all flows down from there. You know, shout out to Dr. Moshe Daniel Block and his whole holistic counseling that we both have attended and learned so much from, that I always remember that little image with the waterfall, you know, and the soul and the mind and emotions and the body and how it all gets affected.
Oh, yeah. I love that you shouted him out. He's the best.
Yeah, definitely. And he would definitely be a good person to interview for this, and plan to interview him on my podcast as well. So,
oh, great idea. Yeah. Yep. It's so interesting that you brought him up too, because I just met another naturopathic doctor called the Heartbreak Doctor, Dr. Erin Moore, and mm-hmm. she studied with Moshe Block for 6 years.
Yeah, she went all the way through that holistic counseling, you know, certification. She's certified and all that. Yeah, so she's real deep in there with him.
Yeah, so I love that you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, so I'm just excited about, you know, to go back to your question, what did I do in the last 4 years? I found out that there was some psychedelic meetup groups in Chicago. You know, it's 30 minutes away from our school. So I just literally searched on meetup.com and I found psychedelics and the future of psychiatry. And I'm like, oh, interesting. So I go there and it's run by, you know, two or three different psychiatrists, and they just talk about different journal articles and just different topics in the field. And they meet every month, and I was just blown away. I'm like, holy crap, there's this whole network here of people that are interested in this as well. And I started going to that, and I went to that pretty much every month for 3 years while I was in school. And, you know, learned so much from that, met so many cool people. And from that group, I also met, which, by the way, that group is one of the biggest meetup groups in Chicago, which should show you just the level of interest and excitement around this topic.
Yeah.
And from that group, I also met the another group that was psychedelic support and integration, safety and integration. And that one is run by a few therapists and psychologists, and they also meet monthly. And that's a whole different vibe. You know, they spend an hour talking about a different topic or whatever, and then we would break up into smaller integration circles. So that way people could talk about a recent experience they had, and kind of help to integrate it. And, you know, people could chime in if they wanted, the therapist would chime in, or we could just, you know, share and say, that's it. So I learned a lot from that. Really, really blew my mind open. My mind, my spirit, everything was just like, whoa, my heart, all of it. Just wide open to just to learning and receiving new information and just, you know, elevating consciousness, I guess, if you had to really summarize it in one phrase. And so that's what I continue to do all the way through school. And you know how the struggle of being in full-time medical school can be, you know, just the stress and the adrenal fatigue and exhaustion and mental overload and just, you know, your head spinning, just like so much information. So I try to integrate that and incorporate it as best as I could with the thought of knowing, like, okay, I'm going to do what I can while I'm in school, but I realize that the true work is really going to start after I'm done. And so I just applied and interviewed for the CIIS psychedelic certificate, which you're in right now. Which, you know, I give you credit in kind of leading the way with that. And I'm so grateful to have you in my life and as a good friend of mine to, you know, as like my psychedelic big sister almost. So yeah, I'm excited for the future. I know we're just getting started in this, and it's going to be real big in the future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And thank you, Adrian, because you really are a dear, dear brother. Thank you so much for inviting me to that psychedelic meetup group and nudging me to apply for the CIIS CPTR, you know, the psychedelic therapy and research program. You know, you really nudged me. You know, you've been my spirit guide to really lead the way. And really, I'm not leading the way. I'm just following the amazing leaders in the field that have been doing this for so long. So I really appreciate you. And I'm so grateful that, you know, our paths have crossed and, you know, we're building a community. That's what we're doing. We're building Definitely. A tribe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Soul tribe, you might call it.
Yes. Yes, yep. We are. Yes, we are.
Yep.
So I'm curious, in all your experiences, you know, I know you said you don't have many, but quite a few. What would you say is the most memorable and why? And if you could like walk us through it.
Yeah. Well, definitely the most memorable was my ayahuasca experience. That's without a doubt. You know, it's it's a special plant and mixture of plants, and just, you know, every time I talk about it, I get in this whole different, you know, zone. It just brings me back to it, which is, I guess, part of the medicine, right? You know, it's always working in you. And I think that even years later, you can have an experience like that, and then you kind of like just moments hit you of like, oh, wow, let me integrate that.
Yeah.
You know, from years ago to like right now, like it's all connected, right? Like time really doesn't exist. It's an illusion. So yeah, ayahuasca, you know, I did it there at a local shaman who brought in his shaman friend from Peru, and it was a female male, you know, partner shaman team. And it was just amazing. You know, it was a small group there of 11 people, and it was my first time ever with ayahuasca. And I was just amazed at some of the people I met there. They had never even tried cannabis. I mean, nothing ever, no other substance. And they're going right into ayahuasca. And I was like, wow. I just couldn't imagine, you know. For me, it was more like I felt like I had to step my way up. Like, okay, like I had a friend at school even. Funny enough, like I'm wearing a spiritual stoner shirt. It's got the flower of life on it. I bought it online. And he comes up to me one of the first days of school. He's like, Adrian, he's like, that's what I see when I trip, man. He's like, you want to smoke DMT? And I'm like, whoa, dude. I've never even tried mushrooms, man. Let me like work my way up, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, all right. And then so I tried mushrooms, and then I tried LSD. And then, you know, a few years went by, and then I went back to him. I'm like, all right, man, I'm ready now. And so then I've also experienced DMT. I've smoked it a few times, and that was before I did ayahuasca. And that is, it's really interesting. You know, I would agree with Tim Ferriss when he says how DMT is a little bit more difficult to get anything out of. It's more difficult to integrate because it's such an intense experience. It's like 10 minutes, you know, and you're just blasted off immediately. And it's just like, the best way I could describe it in words, it was like my entire 10-day meditation retreat, you know, silent meditation retreat. It felt like that, but all in 10 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and so there's really no words for it. I don't know what to tell you. You just have to experience it, you know, but it was super intense. But that made me kind of get an idea of like, okay, this is what DMT is about. And it wasn't bad. It just was, you know, super intense. And I'm not really sure what came out of it therapeutically, you know, but it was an interesting experience. And then when I went to do ayahuasca, I felt like I was a little bit more prepared.
Yeah. Really quick, Adrian.
Yeah.
Regarding your DMT, did you see any visions or images?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I saw lots of fractal images and geometric, you know, sacred geometry patterns and all of that stuff. And just that all the way through into a white light. And then just, you know, I was completely blasted through. And I don't even know, like, sometimes I struggle with the right words to put it. Like, that's the ultimate, you know, psychedelic quality. One of them is they're ineffable. Like, you just don't have words to put to them. So I really respect and look up to people that can put together these beautiful words when they talk about these experiences. I'm working on it. I'm not quite there.
I hear you. You're doing really great.
It's just so, you know, amazing. And really, I saw a lot of those visions and many other experiences as well. So it's not just DMT, you know, it's when you close your eyes on psilocybin mushrooms, even open eyes, depending on the dose, you can see a lot of those same things. And so then when I went in to do ayahuasca, I was a bit prepared, you know, and but still, it's like the shaman said, it's the most unpredictable of medicines, and that's certainly true. And I went into it, you know, I talked about on the couple episodes ago with Jonathan, that episode I recorded, but I went into it completely fasted. I had water fasted for 3 days before I did ayahuasca.
Interesting. I mean, they say that's the best way to do it, you know, following the dieta and fasting.
So that was intense. You know, it was, I told him that and he said, oh, the medicine will work deep in you. And I said, yeah, I'm ready. And so I didn't have anything at all. The first thing I had to break my fast was the ayahuasca. And it was amazing. I mean, I didn't feel anything for like an hour. We took the first dose, nothing. And then we take the second dose. And then they start playing the instruments and singing. And I was just like, whoa, now I get it. And I just completely just like blasted off and just, it was overwhelming. Honestly, I started to get hot physically, like my body temperature, you know, I tend to suffer from hyperhidrosis as it is. So I sweat easily. And that brought it out right away. And then I started feeling my heart rate just increase like fast. Like I went into doctor mode, you know, I'm like, oh boy. And I started checking my pulse. I'm like, this doesn't feel good. And then it got faster and faster. And then I started freaking out. And I'm like, am I going to have a heart attack? Like, is this it? Like, am I dying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had to leave the circle. And like, I went out into the like bathroom area, and then the female shaman came out and she's like, you know, why do you think I just came and sat with me in the bathroom? And I was freaking out, you know, crying and like scared out of my mind. I'd never been more scared in my life ever. And she's like, well, why do you think they call it the vine of the dead? I was like, oh shit. And that kind of honestly weirdly helped calm me down. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm potentially going to be experiencing death, and that's okay. You know, what is there really to be afraid of ultimately? And I kind of let go to all of that, you know, and that's, I think, when I started to calm down a bit. And then the shaman, the male one, was like, just breathe, man. It all comes down to the breath. Just breathe. And I was like, oh, and I realized I was like, you know, like holding my breath and like, you know, shallow breathing. And I was like, oh, wow, I need to just chill out. And I calmed down, and about 30 minutes went by and I was fine. And then I went and joined back in the circle. And after that, I mean, I had just some amazing visions and beautiful experiences. And I also purged. I vomited once, but that was it. You know, sometimes people can have horrible purging experiences. But had that, and then they told us we could bring instruments. So I brought my drums and we were all kind of playing instruments together, and that was like really beautiful. And I had some experiences of like, you know, seeing some of my relatives that have passed, and it was really crazy because I hadn't thought about them in a while. It's a aunt and an uncle over in Europe. And, you know, that it was actually quite traumatic. My aunt actually got murdered. And this was many years ago already now, but it's quite a trauma in our family. And
wow,
that,
I'm so
that
sorry.
Came, yeah. Yeah. It's really rough. And that came up and, you know, I like saw her face and it was just like, hey, I'm here, I'm fine, you know? And then I saw my uncle too, and I was really close with him. And he died at 45 of a heart attack. And, you know, it was like a wake-up call of me of like, hey, you know, do you want to continue eating a bunch of sugar? Because that's my that's my number one, you know, issue is my sugar addiction. You know, I've talked about it quite honestly. And it's like, you want to keep going down that path? Like, this is where you could end up, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of like a wake-up call, kind of like showing me what's possible, you know? So it was, it was quite an experience. And that's just like what I can come up with that comes to mind, you know, off the top of my head. We could talk about it a long time, but those are some of the highlights, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm sorry about the loss of your uncle and your aunt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. It's many years ago now for me, but those are both my dad's siblings. And, you know, I feel like he still kind of struggles with that deep down. How could you not? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so hard to put into words. I feel like and I'll be honest with my experience afterwards, instead of listening to their instructions of don't smoke cannabis for a week, don't do this for 2 weeks, you know, whatever, I didn't listen to any of that. And so that's my fault for not doing it the proper way. The initial, like the diet and everything going into it, I followed perfectly. I didn't smoke. I didn't even have sex for the 3 days before, like all of it, mm-hmm. No masturbation. I mean, all the way through. And then, but afterwards, I don't know what happened, but afterwards I smoked like the very next day. So maybe because of that, I feel like I didn't quite like integrate it all as perfectly as it could have been or something like that. Like I had my experience and then afterwards it was like, oh yeah, that was a cool experience, you know? And Jonathan on that podcast, I interviewed him on, he talked about how sometimes people will have these amazing, great, awesome experiences. And then like a week or a month later, they're kind of in the same spot, you know? And in some ways, like I do feel that's kind of what happened to me. Like I got a lot out of it for sure. And really kind of eye-opening experiences. But then in terms of like, what did it actually do to change me in my life? I don't think that it was that, you know, dramatic in terms of like specifics I could give you, but I know that, you know, with that specific medicine, they say that it can take some time to develop this relationship with the plant, you know? And I was hesitant about doing it in a setting that's not like down in the Amazon jungle where it's from. Mm-hmm. But this kind of felt right to me and it ended up being great. But I definitely know that there's something special about that, kind of doing it where it's from in that setting, you know, with all of those types of people and everything. So I think that I want to do that. I think that I want to continue to get a lot out of it. And it's tough. You know, I noticed that there's so much more work to be done for myself. Yeah. As always, we're all works in progress, right?
Right.
But it's one of those things like I see how much potential it has. And I know that there's a lot here. So I'm diving in head first, but it's like, I've barely just dipped my toe in the water of my own healing and just like all of this, you know, work. So I'm kind of a newbie at it all.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think we are. Mm-hmm. I am too. Make no mistake. I am too. And how beautiful that your aunt and uncle came to you.
Yeah, it was. And honestly, I think that it was kind of like a, hey, here I am. Now, do you want to go down this path and talk more about this, work on this more, think about, like, honestly, I haven't even told my dad about this still.
Oh,
I'm sharing that with you now live on this podcast before I've even told my own dad. So obviously there's some stuff there. You know, and why haven't I felt comfortable sharing it? And, you know, on and on and on. So,
yeah, I totally can resonate, though. What you experience on psychedelics, you know, you have to tread lightly in integrating it and sharing it with family members who might not be ready. And you might not be ready to integrate it or to identify all the things that come up. You know, it's difficult. It's so difficult to work on yourself and learn yourself. You know, that's why therapy is so important. You know, psychedelics are a catalyst for healing, but the real healing is integration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Or as I've shared with you, recent experience I had where somebody on a you know, difficult psychedelic journey, like the last thing you should ever do is reach out to your family during that time, because it could be just not the right time. You know, you could be in the wrong state.
Oh yeah, I've made that mistake.
To be talking to your family at that point. So one of the like rules of psychedelic therapy is like, don't reach out to anybody while you're tripping. Like, wait a little bit, you know, wait till the next day, think it out a little bit, wait even a couple days.
Yeah.
But it can go badly. It can go badly when you do that. So it's a kind of a cautionary tale of, you know, there's a certain rules and suggestions around this for a reason. So
absolutely. And it's so interesting because I feel like with psychedelics, with the plants in particular, it's like they want you to heal yourself, focus on yourself, take care of yourself first, and then reach out. But it's so, if you do it in the wrong set and setting, it's hard to connect with that.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. It really is. And that's why it's important, you know, to when you're going on these deep, deep journeys, I do think it's important to have some type of a guide, either a good friend or somebody that's professionally, you know, a guide like that. Because it is really important, deep work that you're doing, and a whole lot can come up. And just like people have, you know, personal trainers and people helping them out with everything on the physical end of things, wouldn't it make sense you would need that for the mental, emotional, spiritual as well? Of course it does.
Yep.
So, yeah. Being humble enough to say, hey, I can't do this on my own. Nobody does anything on their own. We need help. We need expert guidance. And that's okay.
Right. It is okay. And asking for help is definitely something I have learned with psychedelics, and just reaching out and talking to people and sharing like what you need. They can help us communicate better. They can help us see other perspectives other than our own.
Yeah. Oftentimes that's what we, you know, struggle with the most. It's just communicating our needs to each other and saying, hey, I would really like it if we talk this way instead of this way to each other.
Yeah.
You know, just simple stuff. And, oh, okay, I could do that. You never asked, you know?
Right. Right.
Okay. So it's just the simple, you know, it's like the elephant in the room. It's like, why not talk about the elephant in the room?
Yeah.
Talk about it. And,
right.
And then through that, it's a transformational journey of, you know, transforming that pain and that trauma and suffering.
Or shame or guilt or resentment.
Into lessons, into good things, into healing, you know?
Yeah. So one thing that you mentioned earlier, you mentioned the endocannabinoid system.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone listening, can you dive into that and explain what that is?
Yeah, sure. So it's our body's built-in endogenous system that works with, we have different cannabinoid receptors all over our body, all over our brain. In fact, they're the most abundant receptor in our brain and all over our body in abundance, you know, on our immune cells, on our reproductive cells, on our GI cell, everywhere. And so our body's naturally producing cannabinoids, you know, 2-AG and anandamide. And these were recently discovered because of the cannabis plant, similar to how serotonin was discovered in the whole serotonin system because of LSD and because of the research they were doing in that in the 50s and 60s in psychiatry. And they realized, oh, how does this work? Oh, we have the serotonin system in our body. Wow. And similar thing with the endocannabinoid system. So our body's producing these cannabinoids naturally. And a lot factors into a healthy endocannabinoid system: our diet, our exercise, our microbiome, you know, all of these things. And so what is one way to influence and balance out that endocannabinoid system is through taking in phytocannabinoids, which are through the cannabis plant. And that's why this area of research has just exploded over these last few years, because, you know, and that's why I get it. I understand from people's point of view, how can CBD do all these things? You know, it sounds too good to be true. Sounds like a bunch of hype. You know, we even had professors at our school calling CBD a bunch of hype. And I said, I don't know about that. I don't think you quite understand.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault. Nobody took the time to educate you. That's the system that we've been in. And let me sit down and talk to you about it if you're willing to listen. And so it's really just, you know, it influences how we eat, how we, you know, our mood, our sleep, our digestion. I mean, just about everything. All of our physiological systems are balanced by our endocannabinoid system. So when that's in tone and balance, has a good tone, everything else works properly. And so things like IBS and migraines and fibromyalgia, all of them are theorized to say that the reason those are happening in people is because of endocannabinoid deficiency. Something's off in your endocannabinoid system. So these people find great benefit when they add in CBD or other cannabinoids as well. CBD has gotten this big spotlight lately, but that's just one of the many. You know, CBD, THC are the main two, but there's so much more that's coming out now with CBG and, you know, THCA, which doesn't get you high. It's a really potent anti-inflammatory, and that you can actually get from the leaves. You know, or from juicing, you know, a lot of people will juice cannabis and consume it raw like that. That has those THCA, super powerful anti-inflammatory powers. And I just read this book, which I highly recommend to anybody interested in this area, Cannabis is Medicine by Dr. Bonnie Goldstein. And it was just super in-depth, just written in 2020. So she puts everything in there. And it's just like, I was pretty amazed by sometimes CBD and THC. So sometimes just CBD could be enough for people, right?
Yeah.
Can take care of their chronic pain, can take care of anxiety, can take care of, you know, help with sleep, can do so many things. But sometimes you need to add a little bit of THC in there, very small amount. And it, that synergy, the way they work together is just amazing. But sometimes that's not even enough for people. And that's what I learned by reading this book, is that she has patients adding in THCA, you know, or adding in CBDA. So it's the acidic form of it. So, you know, when you burn it, that decarboxylates it and burns off that acid. So this is the, with the acid on there, but you don't get the high from the THCA or the CBDA. And once patients add that in there, they're able to see like dramatic effects and like totally takes care of their pain, for example. So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
But anyways, we can go into the weeds, pun intended.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. And then it kind of has sparked my next question, which is, I've heard that cannabis is also psychedelic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, for sure it can be. I mean, I'm reading a book right now, Cannabis and Spirituality, and it's Explorer's Guide to Ancient Plants, or Ancient Plant Spirit Ally. And it's like so interesting because it certainly can be psychedelic. I mean, ask anybody who's had a really intense high dose edibles experience. That can feel like a psychedelic. I mean, it is. I would lump it in there with, it certainly can be a psychedelic plant for people, in that it definitely can change up your consciousness and elevate it to a whole new level. I mean, there's a reason many spiritual traditions around the world use cannabis, you know, for spiritual purposes, because of that fact right there. So absolutely, you know, higher dose, definitely. Even at a microdose, I mean, it all depends. You know, everybody's different. Some people can take 5 milligrams of THC and they are blasted off. You know, I can take, you know, a whole lot more than that and you wouldn't even know it.
So, okay. Okay. And then that actually, okay. So that sparked my next question, which brings us back to ayahuasca.
Uh-huh.
How many tablespoons did you do?
Oh, wow. It wasn't by tablespoon. It was like a little shot glass. And it was like a shot glass, I don't know, maybe 3/4 full of liquid of the mix of the brew. And they said they put, it was ayahuasca and they mixed in some other herbs. Like, I don't exactly really know, to be honest, what was in there. One other thing I want to mention out of that experience, though, that I really got, I can't believe I forgot to say it, was I really was able to see everything going on with Fjorda, my girlfriend at the time, of everything with the issues with her family and everything between me and them. And I literally was seeing things from their eyes, like I was them. And I was able to see things from a whole new perspective. And as a result, I had so much more compassion for them. You know, it's like that phrase, like hurt people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I saw like, oh, wow, like you guys are really, you know, hurting to be able to have, you know, done all those things and whatever. And so I actually have more compassion for you and for myself and going through that whole, you know, process and everything. So that was powerful for me. And that was like a big, I still obviously take that with me from that experience to this day. So that I wanted to mention that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's so incredible. You know, all the different teachings that can come out of the psychedelic experiences.
Yep. Absolutely. And for what that person needs at that time, you know?
Right. This kind of leads me to my next question. Entheogenic versus psychedelic. What are your thoughts on using entheogenic over psychedelic, you know, because of the stigma of what psychedelic means, because of the propaganda that was, you know, placed on that word with the war on drugs, which is the war on consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well said. I don't know. I totally get it. I really do. It's like words matter and meanings, you know, the what people think, their perception behind the words really matter. So it's like a marketing thing, you know. Perception is reality. You know, it's like used car. That doesn't sound as good, but pre-owned. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing, you know. Oh, psychedelic. Oh, well, it's actually entheogenic.
Right.
It's the same thing, you know, but I get it. You know, for people that have never heard the word psychedelic, it doesn't matter. They're like, what is that? You know, but for people that have this terrible stigma and like, oh, these crazy hippies from the 60s, they're back again. Like, you know, then, okay, then, well, it's an entheogenic for you, sir. You know, I get it for sure. It matters. You know, I come from an extensive sales background, so you got to spin things in a certain way for certain people, and that's fine. But the end, you know, result is that, yeah, the stigma is there. And my goal and your goal, I'm sure, is to end that stigma. And we can call it whatever we want to call it. It's about the result and the, you know, end experience at the end of it. So I don't know. Yeah. I do understand. Entheogenic is like, it means literally like going towards God or something like that, right?
It's a chemical substance, typically of plant origin, that's ingested to produce a non-ordinary state of consciousness for religious or spiritual purposes. So ultimately, yes, going to whatever God you believe in.
Yeah. So that's a little bit deeper than psychedelic, which means mind manifesting, which I do like because it is literally manifesting your subconscious to the conscious. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's happening. And that's why it's so unpredictable, because, you know, like that iceberg, 10% or so of our consciousness is what we are consciously aware of. And the rest is hidden deep down below.
And that subconscious is formed from the time we are in our mother's womb until we're about 7 years old.
And that's where, you know, it can be difficult for people if they haven't gone there or they don't want to go there. You know, that's what I find so interesting about people. Like, yeah. Oh, no, I can't take that. I don't want to take that. Well, why? You know, have you ever asked yourself why that is? Like, what are you running from? What are you trying to like hide from?
Mm-hmm. And we find that the antidote to childhood trauma and abuse is to have a positive experience and process that experience so you can let it go from your subconscious.
But it's definitely not for everybody. You know, we don't want to sit here and say that everybody needs to take psychedelics. Like, no, that's definitely not true.
Right. I definitely think, like you said, people need to be ready. They need to be willing. They need to be curious. Mm-hmm. And they need to be courageous enough mm-hmm. to go there. And if they aren't ready, that's okay.
Yep. That's
it's
okay.
Totally okay.
Meeting yeah. people where they're at, right?
That's exactly what we do as naturopathic doctors, meeting people where they are so we can educate and empower them to change little by little, because your health, as you know, it's all in the lifestyle, in your habits.
Some people might be ready for a full-on, you know, week-long ayahuasca ceremony, and they do 3 ayahuasca ceremonies in there, and that's wonderful. You know, I don't even know if I'm ready for that myself.
yeah, you know. That's me.
Yeah, actually, what am I kidding? I'm ready to go to the Amazon anytime. Let's go. So. Yeah. But mm-hmm. yeah, some people are like, yeah, I've heard about this CBD thing. Let me try it out. And then they try CBD and it's almost like a psychoactive, psychedelic experience for them. You know, that yeah. alone.
Right. And it's interesting. I am teaching a lot of people now holotropic breath work as a beautiful bridge for people who aren't ready to let go.
Yep.
But it still helps get them into a non-ordinary state of consciousness that allows emotions to come up that need to come up, or allows them to release tension and stress and all of that, just explore themselves, but in a way that is not with the plants or other psychedelic.
Right, exactly. And funny you bring that up, actually. The first psychedelic meetup I went to was about breath work. They did a Wim Hof, you know, breath training seminar thing on it. That's what the meetup was about. And I remember Dr. Matt Brown, when I met him there, he said he's had some of his most powerful experiences just through breath without ingesting any substances at all.
Yeah, I believe it.
I believe it too. And it all goes in line with, you know, all of these states of mind and level of consciousness are totally possible without any substance. We have it within us, you know, through meditation, through breath work, through cold exposure, through all of this stuff, fasting, yeah. you know, but the psychedelics, the plant medicines are there to kind of give us a little reminder of like, hey, here's what's possible, man.
Right.
Keep going.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think they are technology, you know, mm-hmm. they're technology for us to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Gosh, thank you so much. So the next thing is, my last question for you is there anything else that comes to mind intuitively about psychedelics that you want to share?
I just would like people to, just like with any topic, you know, I like to sit in this area of things that have stigma, you know, cannabis, psychedelics, you know, sexuality, all of this stuff. And I just think that it's silly, because at the end of the day, what are we so afraid of? You know, we just need to open our minds and open our hearts to a new possibility that's out there. You know, just be open-minded. This isn't about seeing purple flying elephants around when you're tripping and, oh, cool, you know, oh man, I'm going crazy, I'm losing my mind. It's not what it's about. You know, it's about the healing. Just like with cannabis, I tell people all the time, it's not about the getting high. That's a kind of a side effect, you could call it, which isn't so bad, but it's not about that. It's about the healing. It's about the medicine. And that's why I think people, you know, tend to listen to me when I tell them about cannabis, because they see that, like, okay, this undercover cop looking guy doesn't, doesn't seem to be, you know, this lazy stoner that I have this picture in my mind of. Maybe I should listen to him, you know. And as a result, a lot of my family members and friends and people I've talked to about cannabis over these years have tried it out. And now they're thanking me, saying, wow, I've never been more calm and happy and less stressed. And they stopped drinking and all these things. It's like, well, wonderful. You know, I'm so glad I could help. And it comes down to, again, one of our naturopathic principles, docere, right? Mm-hmm. Doctor as teacher. You know, it's just about the education. You can't blame people because all they've heard until this point is a whole bunch of propaganda and lies, and you're going to lose your mind and jump out of windows and all this crazy stuff. And why would you be in a rush to go try that stuff?
Right.
There's people like us out there now trying to educate and...
Yes, and reduce harm.
And, you know, just share the possibilities and share the love, really.
Yes.
You know, it all comes down to, and two words... I remember so clearly from that Arizona psychedelic conference I went to, and there's this Native American. We did a drum circle and we all went around and like shared a word or phrase that comes to mind. And I said, love and gratitude. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, he went around everybody and he's like, that's it right there. And he pointed at me. He's like, that's what it's all about. Ultimately, love and gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so that's it. You know, whatever way that you come to that, whether it's psychedelics, whether it's cannabis, whether it's none of the above, and you just happen to get there naturally, wonderful, you know?
Yeah.
But that is the end goal. And I really love this phrase. I'm going to steal it from Jonathan or borrow it from him. He says, elevating consciousness and just, you know, spreading more of that beautiful energy. And that's just what I want to be a part of, you know, any way that I can.
Yeah, I love that. And I resonate with that so much, Adrian. And it actually has sparked another question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regarding cannabis.
Uh-huh.
What is the best way to do cannabis from your, you know, perspective?
Yeah, it's so, you know, we could talk about this all day long. There's so much out there now. And I get it. It's like, it's kind of overwhelming, you know, even for myself. I know so much. And I've explored so much and been in this industry for years now. And I still walk into a dispensary and I'm like, whoa, there's like 40 different kinds of edibles and 30 different kinds of flower and all these cartridges and all these concentrates and all these tinctures and all these oils. And you're like, what do I do? You know, so for somebody that's never gone into this, it's definitely going to be overwhelming. So I would just say that, you know, whatever, it's a trial and error type of thing. And that's what doesn't fit so well into conventional medicine. You know, well, I'll try it out and see how it works for you. They don't like that in the conventional world. They're like, they need a protocol. They need a algorithm. They need you have this, you should take this and this dose. If that doesn't work, okay, try this next. You know, that's how they're trained. It's not their fault, but that's the system that they're in, you know, and we come from a whole different world of like, you could have 100 different people with migraines. Each one of their treatment plans could look different, right?
Right.
And so similar thing with cannabis. You know, it's so dependent on each person. Everybody's endocannabinoid system's at a different place. And so what could be good for me could be totally different for you. But I mean, I would say really to start out slow, just start with CBD. You know, CBD oil or, you know, edibles, whatever you can find, high quality. You know, there's a lot of not good stuff out there from the gas stations and the smoke shops and the whatever. So make sure it's a really high quality brand with certificates of analysis and all of the third party testing. And then you just start out with that slowly, you know, 10, yeah. 20 milligrams or so and work your way up. You know, it depends. Every person is different. I don't want to give exact dosing, you know, guidance,
yeah.
But
yeah.
And then see how that goes. And then from there, add a little bit of THC if you feel the need, depending on what your issues are. You know, it's so individualized. You know how it is. It's like,
yep.
Somebody asks you, hey, I have IBS. What's good for that? It's like, well, let's have an appointment, you know?
Right. Let's talk about your childhood.
Right. Yeah.
Come on,
so, but I mean, it depends too, you know, like, is it for medical use? Is it a recreational use? Like, cause I started in the more recreational side of things. And, but then you ultimately realize, you know, people say, well, it's always medical because we all have endocannabinoid systems and you're ultimately, you know, doing something with that cannabis. And I really think that there's something to that, you know, whether I have diagnosed anxiety, I definitely feel more anxious 100%, you know, than the average, I would say. And so cannabis for me has always helped to kind of chill me out, just calm me down, calm my nervous system down, kind of get me more into that parasympathetic, which is, you know, funny enough, where all the healing happens. So there's so many levels to it. And reasons behind it. But if you're called to try the THC side of things, I would start really, really slow, really low. Slow and low is the phrase they like to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, really small, like 2.5 milligrams of THC, 5 milligrams of THC, like super small. And then work your way up and just keep adding more, playing around with it. That's what's so great about cannabis is it's a very forgiving, you know, medicine, lots of room for error. So the worst thing that happens, is you just, you know, have a really relaxing night of sleep for 12 hours and you wake up refreshed the next day, maybe a little groggy, you know, but that's it. That's the worst case scenario. The best case is you could completely, you know, transform your medical issues. So
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential, you know, and also it's a real interesting conversation about in naturopathic medicine, how we don't want to suppress symptoms. We want to get to the root cause, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some NDs out there that think that CBD and cannabis is ultimately suppressing and not really getting to the root cause, that could be true, but also it is getting to the root cause and things. It's actually helping to heal. I mean, people literally can heal, you know, their Crohn's disease, for example, helping with cannabis. Obviously, you can't just use cannabis and continue eating a terrible diet. Doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, but it's a big part in that healing and actually healing, you know, the GI. So there's so much still to be discovered. And
Right. And it's just so interesting that you mentioned that, the different viewpoints, because I mean, myself, I started with CBD maybe 15 years ago for colitis, and that helped so much with inflammation. And then, you know, slowly I started adding THC in to help with anxiety like you.
Mm-hmm.
And in my psychedelic program now, there are people who see it as numbing trauma that might be there, and that could be it also. Like, it could be that too.
Yes, I agree.
You know, it could be both. It could be healing and numbing, and maybe that's what you need in that moment because you don't really know what else to do in that moment.
Right. And is it better to do that than to pop the Xanax? Like, it's commonly, you know, like, no big deal. Right. Just take Xanax every day.
Right.
Like, wait, what? Like, forget about the opioid epidemic. The benzodiazepine epidemic is even bigger and it's not even talked about, you know?
Yes.
And it's so like, yeah, for the time being, maybe the person would be better off using the cannabis to numb a bit while they figure out and work their way through. But it's funny you say that, you know, there's somebody at school that said, I love cannabis. It's such a powerful medicine, except for when it comes to mental, emotional things, I've seen it can tend to numb instead of you helping to work on it. And I'm like, you know, it's funny you say that to me because I can't deny that I've certainly done that. You know, it's
right.
You bring it up.
I've done it. I've done it. I think a lot of people do it. Because it does feel so good.
Right.
It's almost like, it's what your nervous system needs and you're giving your nervous system what that needs.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it can be really powerful, in that way. It can help you to process and work through some of that mental, emotional stuff. It can help to bring it out. It can help to make your meditations even deeper. I mean, like you said, it could be healing and numbing at the same time. You know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It's both. It's forget about this. We're stepping outside of this non, you know, this duality, you know, we're in the non-dual realities, right. You know, so it doesn't have to be one or the other. It's all of the above.
Exactly. And all things must be done in moderation. Whatever a person needs, I think we just need to respect. Mm-hmm. As long as it's helping them grow and feel safe and not holding them back.
Right. And you know, I tend to talk badly about pharmaceuticals in that realm pretty quickly. I do have to say that I'm not fully against them. I think there is a time and place, especially in the short term, mm-hmm. you know, to help people out to get to that next step. But
yeah,
long term, I'm really not a fan of them, like, at all. So
I agree. I mean, the research proves that long-term use of these, of most medications, mm-hmm. taxes the kidneys, taxes mm-hmm. the liver. And some recent studies have suggested serious potential risks with antidepressants. People who used antidepressants, I think, had a 14% higher risk of heart attacks and strokes and a 33% greater risk of death. And this was a meta-analysis of 17 studies in 2017 in the journal Psychotherapy and Psychosomatics. So it's something that we really need to evaluate and assess. Long-term antidepressant use helped about 70% of people, but 30% of people still were depressed. So again, it's not for everyone. Some people can heal on these medicines, and then others have serious potential risk that we have to consider.
Wow. Like, that's crazy.
And for those people where medications don't work as well, we need to teach them how to regulate their emotions, how to regulate their nervous system, how to breathe, how to use their lifestyle to enhance their health and healing, how to process their trauma, you know, teach them how to biohack their body. They're not working on the root cause of their issues, which, as you know, as we know, all mm-hmm. comes back to childhood.
Yeah.
And even before that, right? It's intergenerational trauma.
Right, right. It could be the birth of your, the trauma of your birth, which you can't consciously remember, which could come up in a psychedelic experience, you know,
could be
the traumas of your past, you know, your great grandparents, like, that you have no conscious memory of, but.
Yeah, but they're in our genes.
Right. Their epigenetics has proved that.
Yes. And epigenetics is the study of how our genes are constantly changing based on our environment and how we develop. It's interesting. I, based off of this, all my research in this program, which I'm really excited for you to explore and dive into, there's a book called The Cosmic Serpent. The book dives into ayahuasca and how these plants may change us on the genetic level.
Mm-hmm.
And that all the serpents that we've seen in ancient writings, drawings, that is actually a depiction of our DNA. And that these ancient cultures learned about their DNA through their psychedelic experiences. And I don't know how to explain it. I have no words, but I know, like, I have this inner knowing that what they're doing is they are literally changing our genes and making them better.
Wow. I just got goosebumps because that's what it is. That is what's happening. And I, you know what's funny, at that Arizona psychedelic conference I went to, there's a Dr. Joe Tafur, and he goes down to the Amazon a lot and he's like building a center down there and everything. And he shared a story of a patient he had with migraines, like really bad migraines. Tried everything, conventional, natural, nothing could help, nothing. And she went down to the Amazon, did ayahuasca. And during her ceremony, the shaman had a vision of her genes. And there's like this black, like, dragon wrapped around the genes. and he like helped to to release that in some way. And after that, she never had headaches again.
Now I have goosebumps.
So that dragon, he said he believes Dr. Joe Tafur was saying that that's like the wrapping of the epigenetic kind of evidence of this.
I mean, it's so wild. The biochemical aspect of these plants and what they're doing on the genetic level. I mean, this anthropologist, I forget his name right now, but The Cosmic Serpent is the book. He dives into how these plants unlock different receptors on our genes. And actually what we're hallucinating is our genes. Like all the visions that we are seeing are really just what's inside of our genes. Our genes are just talking to us. I mean, I don't know, you know.
Wow. That's amazing. Jeremy Narby.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I had to look it up because I'd heard of that book, but I couldn't think of the name either. Yeah. That's wow.
Yes. And it's so interesting. He dives into many different cultures and what they saw under psychedelics and under these plants. And so many of them from different parts of the world talk about these snakes that they see. And they have snake paintings on caves. They have hieroglyphs that represent snakes all the way back in the Egyptian time. And he pretty much theorizes that all of this is telling us that the plants are actually here for our genes, and our genes are how we're all connected. It's like DNA, and that's like the essence of our life, as we already know. Mm-hmm. But that's what they activate.
Wow. I mean, I'm just tingling, you know. That makes sense. There's definitely, I think that's for sure what we're going to continue to find out.
Right.
What's happening here? Because it's such a deeper level. It's like, how are people not only getting over their years of incurable anxiety, depression, PTSD, all these things that nothing else could come close to touching, and after a few sessions, they're cured. How's that happening?
Right.
You know? Right. And then not only mental, emotional, but physical, you know, autoimmune diseases and everything that's puzzling and such a mystery to the most advanced of modern medicine. Well, modern medicine doesn't have anything on these ancient plant technologies, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it's so interesting you bring that up, because in the past year, Adrian, I healed my colitis and manage it so effectively now because of all the things I've processed with psychedelics. I mean, it has been quite a journey. You know, I started with the physical, with diet, exercise, went to the mental, emotional with hypnotherapy, biofeedback, talk therapy, shamanism, and then to the spiritual with psychedelics. It's been a journey, and it's been 12 years without medications. And thankfully, I've never had to have surgery. You know, we can heal. We absolutely can heal and manage these chronic incurable conditions effectively.
Wow. I don't think you've even shared that with me. That's amazing.
I haven't. Wow. I haven't really shared that with anyone yet.
Incredible.
But it literally helped me physically. It's so wild because with my experiences, just like you said, healing PTSD, childhood trauma, all these things. But I think what was happening also is that my genes were shifting and healing on the genetic level. And then when I did ayahuasca a couple of weeks ago, I purged out all this thinking, this diseased thinking. Like you mentioned in the beginning, it all comes from the mind. And I still have to have a healthy diet. I still have to avoid my food intolerances and food allergies, so that way I can continue to feel so good. It's been a transformation of my physical health. So I'm blessed that you mentioned it.
Wow, that's really beautiful. I'm so happy to hear that. And you know, you've already healed yourself so much until now, even without the psychedelics. And so with that, right. Now it's like, and you've already helped so many people, you know, to heal themselves as well. So I just am so excited for you and for all your future patients that get to, you know, benefit as a result, because that's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And you as well. I mean, as you transform and expand your consciousness, you are only going to help all the people that you touch. And you already said you are, your family, your friends. So, yeah. You know, yeah. you're making such a huge impact.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm really excited. I know that I'm just getting started. I have some big, big visions and dreams. I'm just going to put it out there on this podcast that now I've been saying for a few years, I want to get to somebody like Elon Musk so that he could help us transform this paradigm of medicine to the natural way that it's always been.
Yes.
And he's somebody that can help do that with his money and that his power. And now, funny enough, he became the world's richest man.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it's like, okay, I really mean it now. We need to get to somebody like Elon Musk, because just like how our history of medicine, if a lot of people aren't aware how involved the Rockefellers were in investing in and changing the medical education system and everything around it, the lobbying. I mean, pharmaceutical companies are the biggest money spent and lobbyists in all of Congress by far.
Right, like they keep us sick.
Yeah, exactly. And double the amount that oil companies spend, just to give you an idea. That's huge. And so we need somebody on that level to help us change that paradigm. Like, that's the level that I'm thinking of, like, how do we change this whole thing?
Oh yeah. I'm there with you.
The studies are there. And just like with cannabis, oh, there's no human clinical trials to prove. Well, why is that? Cause it's a Schedule 1 drug. How are you going to study it? Look at all the other countries in the world that don't have these crazy, stupid politics, you know, in the way, like Israel, and they're studying it in depth. And they're leading the world in research. And here we are in the US so behind this stuff now because of our just failed drug war. And like you said, war on consciousness, that's perfectly said, because they know very well the power of these things. But how do they come out and say now, oh, I'm sorry, we've been lying to you for the last 80 years about cannabis.
Right.
Our bad. Like, right. Right. How do they do that? They can't. And so I don't know what's going to happen, how it's all going to be legalized and going forward. You know, I think that we're going to see some massive, fast shifts in consciousness here with everything that's going on. People are either forced to wake up and kind of raise their consciousness or not. And,
right.
So that's right. That's where we're at. And I'm just excited for the future.
Me too. And it's interesting you brought Elon Musk up, because I just saw an article this morning that he has raised huge complaints against tech companies' censorship.
Yep.
And so I think that he's a really good person to connect with.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk, if you're listening, or if you know anyone to get to Elon Musk, we need his support and his help with psychedelic expansion for access to all people.
Yes. Psychedelic expansion and just natural medicine, you know, is as a result, you know, that right. It's all related, you know, you
right.
Get into psychedelics, you're probably into natural medicine as well.
Yes. It's so true. And there's this guy, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. His name is Kalindi Leahy.
No.
Okay. He was a martial art, Tamerian martial art instructor. And he was also a mycologist and teacher and world traveler. And he would go around the world and he would teach people about doing psilocybin on high doses, like 20 grams.
Oh, I heard about this guy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And he says that psilocybin is, he doesn't like the word medicine, because it means then we have something to fix.
Right.
he, and that's where I got my word technology. And also, I mean, Mitch, you know, my partner, he mm-hmm. also has said that it's a technology. It's an ancient technology to help us learn how to survive.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly. I agree. And to help us survive and to thrive.
Right. Definitely. And to thrive. And it's so interesting because Kalindi, he talks about how we can literally put ourselves in hyperspace in with interdimensional beings on psilocybin and how we can literally learn ancient knowledge and technologies that we always have access to.
Yeah. Wow. Now that you're saying that, it reminds me of, I've saw somewhere, I follow so many different things about psychedelics, but somewhere I read that they mentioned 15, 20 gram doses.
Which I do not recommend ever, alone, without a guide, ever.
And at that dose level, things like, you know, in that movie long time ago, Hidden Tiger, Crouching Dragon or something like that, with all the people like flying around and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're like, at that level with psilocybin, like that stuff is reality. It's not just a movie.
Right, right.
And then, like, holy shit.
I know. And Kalindi talks about how psilocybin is this technology, this tool to actually help us become psychic, that we are actually natural born telepathic psychic beings.
Oh yeah, for sure. One thing I didn't mention is that that first LSD experience I had, I definitely telepathically communicated with Fjorda, like 100% we did.
Did you?
Yeah. And so I saw that it was like, oh, this is possible. And yeah, it's like, it's all relating to that, raising us to that 5D consciousness of like where telepathy and all of this stuff is just normal, how we live.
Wild. Wild. And look at us. I mean, we're, like you said earlier, we're newbies.
The more I learn, the more I don't know.
So I can't imagine, you know, 10, 20 years from now, God willing, you know, where we're going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I'm like, man, I feel like I'm old. I'm getting old. And then I'm like, nah, what am I joking? I feel like I'm 23 and we're just getting started.
Yeah, exactly. And we really are. Well, yeah. Thank you so much, Adrian. This has been a really fruitful and rich conversation, and I'm sure I'm going to have you on many more times.
For sure. Yeah. So happy to have been on this. It was a pleasure, and I appreciate you for everything you've done and continue to, there's so much that we're going to do in the future together in this realm. I have no doubt. So I'm excited.